Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
So conscience, we kind of looked last week on what conscience is, right? What is conscience? And simply put, somebody gave a great definition of it, and this is kind of what we're using to help us understand it. Our conscience is our awareness, our sense of what we believe is right or wrong. We all sense, well, I believe this is right, I believe this is wrong, these kind of sense that we have, right? We all have that sense, right? And that's kind of our sense, our conscience. It's our sense of what we believe is right or wrong. Kind of like how we have a sense of what is hot or what is cold, or how we have a sense of what is comfortable or what is painful. Or maybe what a sense we have a sense of what is what tastes good or what tastes bad. These different senses that we have, right? Oh, I know this tastes good and I know this tastes bad. You know, we have different things, right? And a lot of times they're different from one another. This, which is really interesting, which is a lot like our conscience. Our conscience is our sense of what we believe is morally what we believe is right, or morally what we believe is wrong, right? And this conscience is actually a special gift given to all of us on this planet by God. Whether you're a believer in Christ or not, God has given you this conscience to help you. And every person has this conscience. Every person has this gift. And the reason God gave us this gift is to help us, at least to a certain degree, to a certain extent. God gives us this conscience to help us align those things that we believe with are right or wrong. Help us to align that to what God says is right or wrong based on what He tells us in His Word, right? This is the tool that God gives us to help us more or less get at least close to what God says is right or wrong. Whether we obey it or not, that's a whole different story. And nine times out of 10, we don't do a very good job of obeying it. But that being said, our conscience tells us, hey, I think this is right, I think this is wrong. And to a certain degree, God uses that gift that He gave us to understand that a little bit. And we looked a lot more at that last week. So look through last week's video to see what that looks like more in more detail, right? So that was our focus last week. Mainly, it was this vertical connection. How does my understanding of what is right and wrong align with what God says is right or wrong in His Word? And how do I make sure that I'm lining up in the right way? And we kind of use three circles. Remember that? We use three different circles to kind of help us to understand that a little bit better. The main yellow circle that we use was where God says, this is what God says is right or wrong. This is what God says, this is what is good, this is what is bad. And so that's the one that we're aiming toward, right? One person may, on one side, the blue circle here, may line up with some of the things God says. And then again, he may not line up at all. Some of the things he may say that is right or wrong may be totally different from what God says right or wrong. Maybe he hasn't even thought about some things that God has said is right or wrong. Maybe he has no opinion on it because he's not even thought about it yet. And then we have other people, like another person here, maybe this pink circle here. This conscience may line up with what God says, may not line up with what God says. And some of the things they may think is right that God says, no, actually, I don't have, it's neither right nor wrong. It depends on the circumstance. And so there's differences. And our goal is to align what we think is right or wrong closer. We're not going to get perfect, but closer to what God actually says is right or wrong. Now, for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, God has given us an extra special tool. And that tool, that gift, that help is the Holy Spirit. Because when you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and does something amazing that you cannot do in your own strength. And that is this. He helps you to see what God says in His Word. He reveals the truths that God puts in His Word. He reveals that truths to you. And then He helps you to actually give you the strength to apply those truths to your life. He helps you. He illumines Scripture, reopens your eyes so that you can understand it, and then helps you mold your heart so that you can apply it and you can live it out in your life. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit and what He does in your life. So as the Holy Spirit is doing that, there are two guidelines that we follow in our vertical relationship with lining up our conscience to God's will. The first guideline that we follow is this: always obey your conscience. Always obey your conscience. If your conscience tells you that you should do something, your response should be, okay, I'm going to do it. If your conscience tells you not to do something, you should not do it. Your conscience is an awesome tool. It can help you a lot, but you can also damage your conscience. You can hurt your conscience. And you do that by doing the opposite of what it tells you or ignoring what it tells you to do, right? And so that's something that we have to keep in mind. There is one limitation to this guideline, and it is the guideline that actually supersedes the first guideline of always obeying your conscience. And that other part of it, the limitation of that conscience, is this other guideline that says, God is the Lord of your conscience. God is the Lord of your conscience. This supersedes always obey your conscience. And here's why. When the Holy Spirit begins to reveal God's will, what He says is right or wrong in the Bible, and it doesn't line up with your conscience, or rather your conscience doesn't line up with it, you have two options. One option is to try to bend that truth, to mold that truth, to warp the circle so that it fits into what your conscience says, right? Or you can humbly submit yourself and realign, reset, move your conscience to fit with what God reveals in His Word. And you can see people in Scripture who do that all the time. Peter did. God helped Peter to understand that through all kinds of different ways. He helped Paul through that. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways we can see how people who thought they were supposed to do something or not supposed to do something, and God reveals to him, hey, this is actually what you're supposed to be doing. They're like, oh, okay. And then they start doing it the right way. Sometimes they had to be convinced more than one time in order to do that. And so this is kind of our aspect of how we calibrate our conscience to line up with God's will. Sometimes things need to be calibrated one way or the other, right? Doing something or not doing something, and our conscience is just like that. It needs calibration, constantly needs calibration. So this is how we do that, right? And this is how we do that. As we learn to calibrate our conscience vertically with God, with what God says is good or bad in His Word, right or wrong in His Word, we discover an interesting aspect. And that is that our consciences also, because they aren't in line with God, our consciences also differ from one another. And that's this horizontal aspect where our consciences with those that we live with, those that we spend time with, our brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes our conscience is the exact opposite of another person's conscience, right? And so we see this difference here. And today, this is what we're going to look at in our conscience aspect of how do I deal with my conscience when it's not the same as somebody else's conscience. How am I supposed to respond to that? How should I look at the other person in response to that as well? How do we work through this difference? And so this is what we're going to be looking at this week. And in order to do that, we're not actually going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to be looking at an entirely different passage. And one thing to note about this, though, these differences aren't necessarily, we're not focusing here on what God has clearly defined and clearly said in his word, things that God made very clear, things like the gospel. How do I become a believer in Christ? How am I saved? What is my eternity? The fundamental aspects of following Jesus, right, that God reveals in his word. And we're not talking about that. God makes that extremely clear. We're more focusing in line with the things that God doesn't may not necessarily directly address, right? Things that take a little bit more work for us to understand and then properly apply in our context of life, in our social dynamic, in the ways in which we live life. How do we apply these truths of scripture to the way that I live, right? And it's this process of calibrating this that leads to the differences and that helps us, that help that we need to help with. And then where we see this difficulty, this difference in conscience between believers in Christ, right? And so, and this is just like a lot like the church in Corinth. I mean, they have the same problem, right? One person was like, man, I'm, you know, it's totally okay for me to eat meat that is being sold in the marketplace. It's meat that is sold in the marketplace. I should be totally fine to do that, right? And then another person's conscience says it's totally wrong. And the reason that person's conscience says it's wrong is because, well, actually that meat that's being sold at the marketplace, do you know where that meat has been? You know, it's been offered in sacrifice to idols. So I don't want to touch that. And so that's not good. And so one person's conscience is saying no. Another person's conscience is saying yes, right? There's that difference, right? The interesting thing is that it wasn't just the Corinthian church that was having these issues. The church in Rome also had difficulty with this, and we're struggling with this to a certain degree, because Paul took a lot of time in his letter to them, to the church in Rome. He took some time there to talk about how to deal with this difference in conscience. And today we're actually going to use that part of the passage, part of the letter that he wrote to the church family in Rome, to help us better understand what he tells the church in Corinth, right? So today our focus, in order to understand the letter to the Corinthians, we're going to look at the letter to the Romans, letter to the church family in Rome, specifically Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. If you have your Bible, turn there, and this is where we're going to focus in on Romans chapter 14, right? And so we're going to look at how to deal with the difference in conscience with those around us. Romans 14, verse 1 and 2, Paul says this: him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Right? So there's a couple of guidelines that we can follow, some guidelines that we look at, and we're going to look through these guidelines and then look through the passage to help us understand it and kind of flesh out these different guidelines. The first thing is this: recognize that you at any time can be on either side of the difference in conscience. You can be either a yes or a no. So just like he used in 1 Corinthians, Paul uses this same kind of terminology here in his letter to the Romans to describe both sides, right? He uses a person's strong conscience. He uses the word strong to give to describe a person whose conscience says he has the freedom to do something, right? It's basically saying yes. You can do that. It's fine to do. It's good to do. Or yes, you should do that, right? And then he uses the term weak conscience, or a weak person, weak in the faith, whose conscience tells him, no, you shouldn't do that. That's not good for you to do. Don't do that. And so basically, Paul is using these two terminologies to describe what side that person may or may be. Yes, to describe the freedom that he has. No, to describe the freedom that he does not have, that he's saying, no, you shouldn't do it. Strong is yes. And sometimes that kind of throws us off a little bit, because we're like, man, you know, I don't want to have a weak conscience. I want a strong conscience, bless God, you know, that kind of thing, you know. So we got to think, well, oh, I want a strong conscience. That's my thing. I want a strong conscience. But that's not the point. The point is the person with a strong conscience, it's simply saying, what side is your conscience telling you? Is it saying yes or is it saying no? And the honest truth is that very often we can, at any given time, be both yes on a certain topic, a certain area of life, and at the same time, no on an entirely different area of life. So you it's like not strong and weak, but whether your conscience is telling you this is okay, this I should do, or this is good for me to do, or on another topic, no, this is not good for me to do. And so it's more less strong and weak, but better wording for us in our context would be yes or no, right? And so for the Roman church family, the things that their areas of confrontation here, their areas of what do we deal with here concerning these things, there are three things that Paul mentions in his letter to the Romans in this specific chapter. One, whether it's okay to eat meat. Okay, that was something that they were dealing with. Two, whether it's okay to observe certain holy days, right? And three, whether it was okay to drink wine. Those are the three things that Paul mentions in this chapter. So we're going to kind of take a look at it, right? First thing in verse 2, we saw that for one believeth he may eat all things. It's okay to eat meat or anything for that matter. One who is weak or saying no is, no, I can't eat that stuff. I'm just going to be eating my vegetables, right? Eateth herbs, right? Verse 5, we see this other aspect. Verse 5 says this, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. And then we see this phrase, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And this is important because it takes us back to that original guideline that we were looking at. Regardless of what side your conscience is on, we still see the guideline of obeying your conscience. If your conscience tells you to do it, you're fully persuaded, then do it, right? If you're not fully persuaded in your own mind, don't assume that it's okay to cross over to the other side. If your conscience tells you it's good to eat meat, then eat meat. You're free to eat meat. If it says no, then don't. And so same with the holy days. If your conscience says to take one specific day as a holy day, then obey it. And I think this had a lot to do for the Jews because they would have probably seen their Sabbath Saturday as a holy day. And working on that day would have been like, no, that ain't going to happen. I don't feel comfortable doing that. That's not right. Their conscience is telling them no, right? They would feel defiled if they worked on a Saturday, right? Whereas a Gentile or even somebody like us, Saturday may not be necessarily that way. We may see other days as holier days than a Saturday, or we may see the days all the same, right? This isn't talking about working for 6 days and resting, regarding the principle of resting, rather what day you should rest. This is a lot like me, because like Sunday, a lot of times people think Sunday's the day that's the holy day. And for Sunday, they don't do anything but spend time in the Word and rest and relax. For me as a pastor, resting and relaxing are literally the last things that come to mind when it comes on a Sunday. Sunday is busy, the busiest day of the week for me. And so like for me, I take a different day to rest. And sometimes it's not even the same days. Some days it may be a Monday. Some days it may be a Wednesday or a Tuesday. And so I change my days around. And so this is kind of where we see this aspect coming into fruition a little bit, right? Some things that you're going to be dealing with in your life will be a yes side. Some things will be a no side, right? So regardless of which side you're on, let's look at some guidelines that will help us to be able to follow through on that. First, one of the guidelines is this. Don't look down on the other side. If you're a yes, don't look down on the no. If you're a no, don't look down on the yes. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. Let him that eateth, he's a yes, despise him that eateth not. See, here's a yes. Don't despise the one that doesn't eat. If you're a yes, don't look at the person who's a no and think, Man, don't they understand the freedom that we have in Christ? Don't they get that we're free to do this? Why do they get so caught up in the rules? What are they so worried about? Don't they understand that they have this freedom? Don't look down on them. Don't despise them. And conversely, continuing to look at verse 3, and let not him which eateth not, he's a no, judge him that eateth. Don't, if you're a no, don't judge the one that eats. And that's easy. If you're a no, to look at somebody who's a yes and say, man, how can that person be a Christian and still do those things like that? Don't they realize that they are hurting the testimony of Jesus? They're just like destroying their testimony. How can they be okay with doing that? Why don't they just stop? Right? These are things that you can use to judge somebody else. And why is that important? If you continue to read verse 3, for God hath received him. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. God is the only Lord of your conscience. And this is important because if you keep reading, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. On either side, God both welcomes and sustains the other believer. He helps them in their walk of faith. He sustains them just like he does for you. You are not the Lord of their conscience. God is. And because God is their master, they love and serve him just like you love and serve him yourself, right? So that's the first guideline. Don't look down on the one on the other side. Second, recognize that others can be on the other side and still glorify God in their conscience. Look at verse 6, because this describes it really well. He that regardeth the day, what? Regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not that day, not the day, to the Lord doth he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. That's really good to remember, isn't it? Because a lot of times it's very easy for us to assume that the outward actions of somebody, just because their outward actions aren't the same as yours, it's easy for us to assume that they're also not the same in their heart, that they don't love Jesus in the way that you love Jesus, right? Two people can follow their conscience in two different ways and both at the same time glorify God. When a person eats meat and eats all the things that he has, what does he do? He gives thanks to God. He glorifies God for the things that he is about to eat, right? And the person who's not comfortable eating that, who's only eating salad or whatever the case may be, he's also glorifying God on the other side of his conscience. He's still thanking God for the food that he is eating and at the same time glorifying him through that. One person can eat meat and the other person not and still glorify God at the same time. What is important to remember is this next guideline, which is this. Instead of focusing on others, make sure that you are glorifying God in your own obedience. Don't be worried about them. Focus on yourself. Verse 10 tells us that. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Why are you judging him? Why are you despising him? For both sides, right? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. More than worrying about how they are not glorifying God, more than focusing in on judging them or despising them because they aren't acting in line with your conscience, right? Don't do that. Honestly, I think that's a little bit easier for those of us, for us when we are on the no side a little bit. there's times that it's important for us to remember that we aren't the Lord of their conscience. I said that earlier, and I think this really applies here. It isn't your job to force your conscience onto another person, right? That's the job for the Holy Spirit to reveal Scripture to us, right? And so this is important. We don't push our conscience onto another person's, because honestly, we have enough to worry about for ourselves. It's a full-time job just to make sure that you're following your conscience the way you should be, and that you're lining your conscience up with God's conscience, right? We're not trying to be helping other people line our conscience up with our own conscience, but rather working together to line each of our conscience with God's will for our lives. This is the whole focus here, right? And so that's what we have to worry about. Next, a guideline. Don't let your yes be a stumbling block to another brother or sister's no. This is kind of on the flip side here. If you're a no, it's easy to force your conscience onto somebody else. If you're a yes, it's easy to abuse your conscience, use your conscience to prioritize it, and in doing so, becoming a stumbling block to a person who is a no. Let's read verse 13, 14, and 15, because that's what it talks about. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Verse 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Paul is like, I'm a yes, right? But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If a person is a no, then that actually is not good for them to do. Verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. If you're a yes, and you're eating things, and you're doing things that somebody's a no with, and you're doing it in their presence, and you're causing them to be grieved over it, right? You're not walking in love. That's what he's saying. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. This is literally what we've been seeing Paul talk about with the Corinthian church family. That's literally what they were doing. Paul was like, hey, some of you guys are yeses here, and you are literally just like shoving it in their face. You're like totally like causing grief for them. That is not how you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't prioritize your yes over choosing to love them by walking with them in their no. This is the focus. Don't prioritize your yes over choosing to love them and walk with them in their no. And there's a reason behind why Paul focuses on the yes here aspect, why the one whose conscience says yes, there's a reason why he tells them to hold back. And it's actually a pretty simple reason, because of the two consciences, whether if you're a yes or a no, only one has the option to change, right? Only one has the freedom to change. The no conscience only has one option, and that is to listen to their conscience and to not do what it says, right? If he chooses yes, if he chooses the freedom side, he's actually disobeying his conscience and he's sinning, right? The only one who has that freedom to abstain, to go against what their conscience gives them the freedom, is the person who is yes, right? He has the freedom to also choose no, to abstain from that freedom. It doesn't mean you hold back all the time. It means that when you are with your brother and sister whose conscience is telling them no, that you walk with them in that. You withhold that freedom out of love and care for them. And that's important because it points us to our final guideline. And that is this. Following Jesus is about much more than yeses or nos. It's all about building each other up in righteousness, peace, and joy. Look with me at verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Don't hold on to your good. Don't hold on to your yes so strongly that it becomes an opportunity for evil to be spoken of it by you following it. In other words, don't let that become an opportunity for evil to be spoken of, right? Rather, verse 17, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Following Jesus is not about this. My conscience says yes, so I'm always going to do it regardless of what happens around me. And I'm going to despise those around me who's not, your conscience is not your priority. In the same way, if you're a no, your conscience is not your priority. As a follower of Jesus, your priority is righteousness. In other words, together as a church body of believers, working and striving together for your consciences, not to line up or force others to line up with yours, but rather to line up in righteousness, God's will. There's the focus, to line up with God's will. What God says is right, that's what we strive for. That's what we learn to align to. That's what we learn to calibrate our consciences towards, right? That's the focus, righteousness, God's will in our lives. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. As we strive for righteousness, molding our consciences and shaping our consciences to line up with what God says in his will, we do that in peace with one another. We're not striving because one is yes or no. We're working together in peace so that we can work together to learn more about how to follow God. And when we do that, comes joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. All of this is helped through, we're helped with through the Holy Ghost. The effect of following righteousness and doing it in a way that is peaceful among our brothers and sisters is that joy comes throughout the whole body of Christ as we work and strive together in righteousness. Verse 19 says this, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace." Right? See that? How do we do that? "And things wherewith one may edify one another." That's the whole goal. How do we help one another? Look, we're all trying to figure this out. We're all trying to learn it. Sometimes we may be on the yes side. Sometimes we may be on the no side. But regardless of what side we're on, we know that we can work together, strive for righteousness, together focus, and do that in peace. And in so doing, have great joy that fills our church family and fills each of us individually as we work together. So there's our focus for today. And here's my question to you. If you're a yes, on those times that you are a yes, that your conscience says it's okay for you to do, are you one of, first of all, if you are a yes, are you looking down on those whose consciences don't have that same freedom? Are you despising, are you looking down on them? Are you holding others, are you holding on to these lesser areas, these yes things, so much so that you're causing pain and strife and forgetting to love your brother and sister in so doing? Are you forgetting things like peace and joy and striving for righteousness? If you're a no, are you trying to push your conscience onto somebody else? Are you trying to be the Lord of somebody else's conscience? If so, then don't hold back on that. Don't do that. Let God be the Lord of their conscience. And together as a church body and individually, let's learn to use scripture, have the Holy Spirit to help us and shape us and to mold our minds so that we can understand a little bit more each day what God's will for us is, and then submit ourselves humbly to follow him in those ways. And as we do so, we too, as a body of believers, can strive for righteousness, doing it in peace and have great joy while we do it as we follow him, as we follow our Savior. All right, hope that's a help to you. Think about it this week. Go over Romans chapter 14. There's a lot that we didn't cover in there, so it's good for us to be able to kind of review and think about the things that we've looked at in our passage today, all right? Love you. Hopefully we'll see you again next Sunday, and then we'll be able to focus in on 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me close in a word of prayer, and then we'll be done for today, all right? Thank you, Father, for the things that you have shown us today. Boy, how important it is for us to be able to understand what our a focus of conscience calibration should be. That we shouldn't be worrying about other people lining up with our calibrating their conscience to our conscience, but rather we should be working together to calibrate our conscience to your will. In so doing, help us to work with in peace with one another through the differences that we have, whether it may be times when it's where our conscience says we have the freedom, that it's a yes, or our consciences that tell us to hold back, that it's a no. And in doing so, help us to have peace with one another as we do that. And then enjoy the effect that comes through that, the joy of the Holy Spirit as he works through us to grow more and more in the image of Jesus. Thank you for the things that you've shown us today. Now, I pray that you would help us to be able to understand that well and to be able to apply it and to be willing to obey the things that you show us through what we have learned today. In Jesus' name, amen.